Good morning, church. Salute you all. It's been a while. I thank God for your prayers. I thank God for the opportunity that I'm standing here before you to bring God's message. But before we do that, we go to the reading of the word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, a day in which you have blessed us. I thank you, O God, for each and every one that is here in the building and online. I thank you for the many brothers and sisters called to Christ in many places of worship. I pray, O God, that you receive this act of worship before your throne of grace, this ministration of the word as a sweet-smelling savor to you, O God. May you bless your word. May you bless the hearers, O God. As it is said, the word, the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. May it change the hearers. May we not be the same as we delight in your word, O God. Bless your word. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. The message today is derived from 2 Timothy. Paul's second letter to Timothy, which some say was the last, from chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. If you're ready, I will start. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. And the title of the sermon, as was given to me, as assigned to myself, was preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season, and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. So as I was starting to prepare, I had many questions coming to my mind and within my heart. So, for example, Paul, in this moment, he charges Timothy. So it's kind of like a command. He commands him, preach the word. And the question being, what is the word? What is preaching? Before, in the second chapter of the same letter, he had charged him of another command. I charge you then not to be like the others. He's charging him to stay steadfast. And here on this occasion, he's charging him, therefore, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That means we, as we come to church, we expect to be reproved, to be rebuked, and to be exhorted. So today's message, personally for me, is a direct and practical message. And the underlying issue here being, what is the primary responsibility of the pastor, of the elders, of the church leaders, those in leadership? And the answer is clear and precise, as Paul charged or commanded Timothy, preach the word. So then you may ask yourself, yeah, what is the word? What is preaching? You as a Christian, a hearer and a reader of God's word, what is your primary responsibility? You need to remember that Satan is out to get you. He knows man's strength too, and witnesses. He too has his own words. He has been around far much longer than we have. He has seen us make catastrophic and epic blunders. Save for God's grace, you and I would not be here today. I cannot speak for you, but personally, very often, I get distracted. As a matter of fact, we all get distracted. And this is exactly what Satan does. He distracts the believer from keeping our gaze on the one, on Christ. He distracts the believer from keeping your focus on the main thing. Many times we read through the scripture how God urging his people, the children of Israel, do not turn to the right or to the left in the observance of God's law. And in so doing, only then would they prosper. We read about this in Joshua chapter 1, in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verses 32, in Proverbs chapter 4 verses 27, actually the entirety of Proverbs chapter 4 verses 25 to 27, in Isaiah chapter 30 verses 21. As you may notice, this morning I've gone the old school way of preaching the word. We have no PowerPoint presentation. It's not because that I'm testing your alertness or how awake you will be through the sermon, but it dawned on to me as I was preparing this message that how much focus do we give onto the word and the hearing or reading of the word? So as I was saying, Satan will distract you, and this distraction may be with things that are not necessarily bad in and themselves. They may seem innocent, yet take you away from the main goal. So Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 to 27 reads, "Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you." Some translations put it as, "Keep your gaze forward. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." From the reading of God's word, we see and learn that Paul doesn't lay up a charge upon young Timothy. That is practically impossible. No, he doesn't. He urges him to do something that he himself did or was doing. That is, preach Christ risen, preach the gospel of Jesus, and preach the word of God. So pretty much more than 50% of the New Testament, Paul is, all the late the epistles of Paul or his works in the Acts of the Apostles, is pointing to the believers, to the new converts, focus on the preaching of the gospel. At some point where he says, even if an angel came from heaven and preached anything contrary, let him be accursed. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. You may know these chapters, but I'll read it out. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." So one of the biggest problems today, as per the concerns of this world, is the Bible, and more so the preaching of the full counsel of God, the Holy Scriptures. It is not trendy. Not only is it foolishness to them that perish, it is offensive. And you will be told today that you are intolerant, a hater of people and a hater of God, surprisingly. But Paul tells you and I, as he wrote to Timothy on this occasion, even if God's word is unpopular, costing you your life, preach it. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. For there in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That is in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. So Paul charges Timothy, not lightly, he charges him in light of the judgment of God. As I've read, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. So this pretty much means, as we read through that first verse, I charge you therefore before God. I am commanding you before God. God be my witness. This is the command I'm giving to you. In a nutshell, this is the command he's giving to those who stand before the churches and deliver God's word. Mainly he's giving to the pastors, the elders, and the leaders within the churches. I charge you therefore before God, preach in context, knowing that one day you are going to stand before God. You are going to give an account on what you are preaching, what you have preached, or what you preached on that occasion. The question being here being, as written in Revelation chapter 22, 18 to 19, did you tweak it? Did you change that message? Did you bend God's word? Did you form it so as to push an agenda? Was it your agenda and not God's will be done? An agenda that is popular or more palatable? That's where we come up with this, be instant in season and out of season. So if we know that we ought not to change God's law or God's word as it is preached, the best example here being in Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent comes to Eve. She misquoted God. She said, God said, missed out a phrase of what God said, and yes, God said, you will surely die. There was no ifs or buts. So what does it mean to be instant in season and out of season? So instant in season, when the conditions are favorable, when all is going well for us, when the word is well received. For example, in the scripture, we see Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, triumphant, people laying down their cloaks, celebrating with palms. Hosanna to the King, to the highest, the King of Kings, the Messiah is here, the Son of David. Peter on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Paul in Antioch, Philippi, and Berea, when it was well received, they preached the message in season. Out of season, when the conditions are unfavorable, when the word is unpopular, it's not the best or the well-liked, it's not the trendy topic of the day. Just days of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, he is before Pilate with a crowd in the background heckling, crucify him. Peter and John before Annas, the high priest, in Acts chapter 4. They were flogged, but nonetheless, they preached Christ. That same Christ who was crucified, he's risen, and was the only salvation, only way for the high priest and the entire establishment. In a matter of fact, he's our only chance. Paul writes the second letter to Timothy, these very words we read while sat chained up in a Roman prison, apparently rearrested as part of Nero's persecution of the Christians. At this time, he was abandoned by virtually all of those close to him for fear of persecution themselves. They were rounding up Christians. Facing imminent execution, Paul wrote to Timothy, urging him to hasten to Rome. So we can see in Paul's example, he's writing to him, be instant in season and out of season. Paul had seen the highlights of preaching the word, having fruitful debates in synagogues with fellow believers or with new converts. But he had also seen the out-of-season experience with the persecutions the near-death experiences. And here in this very moment, he's writing to this young man while he's sat chained up in a Roman prison, not knowing any time he would be dying, not knowing when. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 to 23, Paul writes, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." As I speak to you this morning, you ought to be aware that the gospel of Christ is unpopular today. And the church of God that Christ died for and redeemed by the shedding of his blood and the cross is under attack. Yeah, people will call us all sorts of names. They'll call us foolish. They'll call us mad. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that gibberish? Could it all be true? Is it not just tales of times past? Oh, the same stories appear in other epic myths, the Epic of Gilgamesh, and so on and so forth. There's so many out there. And if we're to quote a scripture or you to say something, for example, to a co-worker, you ought to be careful because that could be your last conversation with that person. Nevertheless, Paul insists, and as we read, preach the word. So as I come to my conclusion or the concluding part of the message, we go back to those two questions. What is God's word? What is preaching? Within the first question, what is God's word? The Bible is God's word. That is pretty plain and simple. The Holy Scriptures, the entire written word of God, also known as the oracles of God, His complete revealed truth, in times past spoken directly to the prophets, or preached through the prophets' mouths and to the people. And then, without a doubt, as we are all here believers, what is preaching? So before we get to the preaching, we see what Paul says in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 27, which is similar, more illustrated, let us look at 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 15, 17, and 16. That is preceding the passage that we've read, because the passage we've read comes in, "I charge you." Why is he charging him? Therefore, it comes from something. So 2 Timothy, just in above chapter 3, 15, 16, and 17. "And that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise." So here Paul is not only exhorting him, but coming to that climax of charging of the charge. "And from a child you have been acquainted with the sacred writings," or the Holy Scriptures, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." It is from this that Paul then writes, "I charge you." So having come from that, we know what Scripture is and its effect. God's effect through his word. And then he's charging him to preach God's word, having known what it is. So you have heard it said, always preach if necessary, use words. So first time I heard that, I was thinking, okay, that makes no sense. But then I remember, we also called to walk circumspectively according to our faith. So that is, let your actions preach to those around you. Although that is so, as our works testify against us, biblical preaching is the first point of what biblical preaching is. The preaching of the Bible, pure and simple. It's not my opinion. It's not politics. It's not about President Trump and his latest tweet. It's not the latest tabloid news headlines. Rather, the full counsel of God. That is what preaching of the Bible is. The second point is saying something. Preaching is saying something. The Hebrew word used in the text was Kohelet, which meant the preacher. You know that in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1. Or another word being Bashar. Bashar means to bring, to tell good tidings. Kara, which means to call, to proclaim. And Karaya being to cry out. So Kara would be in Psalms chapter 40, verses 9, to proclaim God's righteousness. And in Jonah chapter 3, verses 2, he cried out to the people of Nineveh. They wasn't good about it. He told them, if you do not turn your ways, you will be completely wiped off the face of the earth. So you cry out. It's part, that is all preaching, crying out. And in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1, I love this passage because it's a similar passage that Jesus picks on before he's thrown out of the temple. And here it says, the Spirit of God is upon me. That is Isaiah 61, verses 1. The Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the people, which is Bashar, to bring good news to the people, to preach to the people, to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. That is also preaching, to proclaim kara, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Preaching in the Greek sense, or in the New Testament setup, was referred to in their day, kerux, which was the crier, the herald. I have seen a few from the historical setting of the Roman civilization. They would have a city or a public crier, someone who stood in a market square or a town square somewhere and reported or gave some directive, either from the Senate or something that was going on. So, kerux, a crier, a herald, and that is preaching. The preachers in the form of John the Baptist, who came out of the wilderness, or Jesus, who went about preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand publicly. Keruso, which is to cry as a public crier, or to proclaim as a herald, or kerygma, proclamation, preaching. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And so, the third part of preaching, Bible preaching, exalts Jesus Christ. That is key. Acts chapter 5, 41 to 42. Ultimately, the message for us today is to point to Christ, just as Paul did in Corinthians 4, 5 to 6. Bible preaching not only exalts Jesus Christ, but also convicts of sin. How are the unbelievers to come to Christ saving grace? How are they to come to Christ saving grace having not been convicted of sin? Having not heard the spoken word? Bible preaching is plain. You ought to understand what the teacher is saying. It shouldn't be confusing, for God is not the author of confusion. Bible preaching is bold, as we see the apostles in Acts 9:27. We should be bold in our preaching. Should we not called unto fear? We filled with the Holy Spirit. Before I get to my last point, I would like to read through Romans chapter 10, verses 14, just to understand the importance of a plain message. Romans 10, verses 14. Romans Romans 10:14 reads, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? They have never heard. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." So we see that not only is preaching plain and bold, last but by no means least, preaching should be done everywhere. Preaching should be done everywhere, not just limited to the pulpit in church. We ought to preach in our homes, in our neighborhood, in our workplaces, even in our holiday destinations. Like it or not, the word of God takes no break. Wherever we go, we have people who harvest is plentiful. There's a dying world out there. And I speak this, I testify to you all as a living testimony. I speak the word. One of the compliments I got from the members of the Rat House in Gütersloh was to say to me that I find it, they like engaging with me because I find it easy to speak to people. It is not easy to speak to people, but if you're passionate about something, you will speak to people. And it was because I was preaching to a man from Syria, a refugee. I would say it ended up into an argument. I didn't want it to go there because no one profits out of an argument. But as a debate, it was good because he was bringing Quranic passages and I was using the scripture. So, yes, preaching should be preached everywhere, not just limited to the church or to the pulpit. And the passages that go with that are Matthew 10:27, Matthew 11:1, Mark 1:38, Mark 16:15, Luke 4:18, 2 Corinthians 10, and many other passages. Thank you very much, and I invite you all to come to the last song. Stand up or sing wherever you are.
I have done mine. Take it to him to
speak.
That's not his house.